Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot by Choice. Thank you so much for being here and welcome to this Monday, November the 10th. Woohoo! We made it another week. And before we get started, I want to give a shout out, if you will, a happy birthday to the Marine Corps. This is your birthday today, 239 years. Wow. Since 1775, you have been serving your country well. And we thank you so much for all that you do, because without you, we would not have the freedom that we have. And I just hope you're celebrating. Hope you're not celebrating too much because you have to go to work tomorrow, but celebrating nonetheless because you absolutely deserve it. And with all of my heart, I tell you, thank you. Thank you for what you do. And also, I want to say tomorrow is Veterans Day. And for all of you veterans out there who have given your blood, your sweat, and oftentimes your lives for this country, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've never done enough for you. We could never do enough to repay you for what you've done. And have a great day tomorrow. Enjoy what you deserve, and that's your day, Veterans Day. Thank you. I want to tell you tonight, too, that we have a special guest, and so excited for her to be here. And I really want you to call in and feel free to ask questions of her tonight. That number to call in is 347-205-9620. Just know that I will have you on hold. I'll see your call come up, and I'll bring you on just as soon as I possibly can. Our guest tonight is Dr. Karen Sigmund. Now, she is the founder of RageAgainstTheMedia.org. And I'm really, like I said, excited to have her here so that she can, you know, talk to us and tell us all about what she's doing, why she's done it, and give you a background on her. So let's bring her on right now. Karen, are you there?
I am.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Karen, I know that you have an extensive background, and why don't you let everybody know a little bit about who you are and what your background is?
Sure, yes, I do. It's more varied than most, and more varied than maybe than I would like particularly. I started as a math person. I'm very math-oriented. I was a scientist for almost 20 years. And, you know, that what that brings with it is a lot of a desire to understand and discover the truth, and doing it through all kinds of analytic ways, you know, start off with a hypothesis and then prove it one way or another. So the truth is what counts in science, and I've just taken it off from there. So, yes, I did work as a scientist actually during the Cold War. I helped find Soviet submarines back when anybody cared about that kind of thing. So that was pretty exciting work. And then, of course, the Cold War ended. We won. And then I became an educator. I taught at a middle school, earned a master's degree in international relations because, Stan, how the politics behind all of it worked. You know, in defense, you're fighting the bad guy, and international relations, you're understanding how that all came to be. So that was a lot of history, and again, finding ways of, you know, more ways of understanding how the world works and the truth, because you can only make good decisions about anything when you're operating from a position of truth. The rest is, you know, just desire and utopian vision and hopeful thinking, but the truth is really important. So international relations, then I continued on and got a doctorate in education and American culture, because we are the best. We are an exceptional nation, and
absolutely
and the education piece was understanding how we develop a cultural identity through our schools. So how is it that schools teach who we are? What is the education process that helps us develop a national identity? And so that was sort of the educational progression. All of it is about truth finding, about dealing with American exceptionalism. That's what defense is, right? Finding, we have
right.
to preserve what we have, and you just thank the Marines, you know, for everything that they've done, all our military, and the Marine Corps, 39th birthday, which is, you know, that I worked in the defense industry to help empower all of that, and international relations was part of that. So everything that I've done, although it looks really diverse, all really did sort of point to the same thing. Who are we as Americans? What is it that makes us great as Americans? And how do we preserve it? So
that's a long
disparate, but they're really all focused on the same thing.
Right. You have a long background there and a lot of good experience, I think, that sort of brought you to where you are today. Can you tell me a little bit about what was the movement to start the Rage Against the Media? Why did you start it? And tell us a little bit about exactly what that organization is.
Rage Against the Media, it was born shortly after September 11th of 2012, when the massacre had occurred in Benghazi. I had realized, many of us realized, you know, for a long time, how complicit the media is with the leftist liberal agenda. I mean, think about it. There is not one, not a single leftist policy or candidate or idea that could have been implemented if we knew the truth about it. Not one, not a single thing. If the truth had been reported, the people would reject it. And I'll get to the what was just divulged today about Obamacare, which is so astonishing. Everybody mm-hmm. recognizes that if the people know, we the people, the voters know the truth, we will reject it, and so it has to be hidden. Politicians will always hide things. That's, you know, that's a given. Can we just accept that? But when the media chooses to side with one side so consistently, and reject the other side so consistently, we have a real problem here, because as a self-governing nation, we need the truth. Again, back to, you know, what I've always strived for, we need the truth. And when the media conceals the truth, we're making decisions based on faulty information. So I'd always known this. I knew when the junior senator from Illinois was even got the nomination, let alone won the election in 2008, he could not at all have done so without a complicit media. It just couldn't happen. And then Obamacare happened, and then this, that, and the other thing happened, and, you know, you just sort of go along with it, and you get angry. But when the Arab Spring occurred, and they were covering for the really egregious mistakes. Well, mistakes is not really speaking correctly about it. When they were covering for our administration's empowering groups that hate us, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, and concealing all the realities of what's going on, all knew, those of us who follow this stuff, and, you know, again, degree in international relations, although it doesn't take
right.
that, but that piqued my interest particularly, we knew very bad things would come of it, and of course they did. What
right.
happened September 11th in Libya. And so at that point, you know, before that, I was angry about it, but now people are dying. Our American diplomat and the other three heroes died because of our administration and because the media had kept quiet about all the evils that were happening with the Arab Spring, and now they were lying about this too. So it
right.
just blew me into such a fury. Politicians will do what they do, but they can only get away with it with a complicit media. And so I stormed around for about a week and a half, and then I thought, all right, I've got to go find protests against media. Surely people are rising up against the media. Sean Hannity was talking about it. All kinds of people were saying, you know, this really is in the lap of the media, and nobody was. And so I thought, okay, if nobody else is, and everybody recognizes that this is the problem, it's got to be me. And so I, just through a weird set of circumstances, I pulled together with the help of a lot of people our first protest in L.A. at the CBS studios here. We had this, about 50 people, which was pretty impressive.
Pretty good.
All things considered. And since then, we've had a couple of other protests at CNN a number of times. Just out on the street with signs and chanting and all kinds of stuff. So,
and what's
one
the
of
reaction
most,
of people when you do that, Karen?
Yeah, what's so interesting, especially when we're at CNN, because the location, it's right in Hollywood. I think it's Sunset Boulevard and Highland. It's right in Hollywood. So if you do this on a Saturday, people are walking by and driving by. We had big signs that, you know, things like, why didn't you report on Kermit Gosnell? What really happened in Benghazi? Who gave the stand-down order? And then various other topics. People walking by would say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize how effective the media is. And that's
right.
where it gets so scary. They had no idea. So do we really think that standing in front of CNN, you know, on a Saturday, that CNN executives are going to say, oh, my gosh, there's a thought. Why don't we start reporting, you know, accurately and stuff? Thank you, guys. You know, you showed us the light. We don't expect that to happen. Of course not.
Right.
But the more people we can get to realize that there's a lot of stuff going on that is being deliberately hidden from them, deliberately hidden, the more people we can get to rise up and maybe, you know, through market pressures or various other things, get the media to maybe think that maybe they ought to start reporting a little bit more accurately. But even so, we're also trying to empower those like you who report the truth. So it's...
Well, and you're doing a service. You know, you're educating the public. Like you said, the media doesn't tell them the truth. Standing there with your sign and your 50 people on a Saturday, you know, who cares what the executives and CNN are doing? What
right,
is really
right.
so valuable is that you're, everybody that comes by there and looks at that sign, there's a conversation and there's a teachable
right.
moment for someone. And
exactly.
that's absolutely wonderful.
That's exactly what it is. And we were so startled to find how much people didn't know and at the same time how interested they were. It wasn't
uh-huh.
like they just, you know, shrugged and walked by. We also had flyers and, you know, with 10 of the most egregious, most recent things that the media didn't tell you. Did you know, you know, that the real unemployment rate is this, this, and this? Did you know... this fact about Obamacare. Did you know, various things? And the answer to all of those is, of course, no, no.
Right.
And then you have to, then at the bottom of the sheet, we say, ask yourself why.
Uh-huh.
And these aren't people who are low information. You know, that the target for Rage Against the Media isn't the low information voter. It's the deliberately misinformed voter. The people
right.
who go home and sit in front of the television or go online and they go to ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, whatever, because they think that they're getting the truth. They think they're getting news. And what they're told is not. There's a false reality deliberately crafted by these networks that is not the real reality. Just think about, you know, Trayvon Martin. To most people who follow the news, he was this poor, defenseless, cute little boy who was mowed
right.
down for no apparent reason. And this it's not people who are low-information voters who think this. These are people who watch the news who have been deliberately lied to. So that's yeah. what we set out to make people aware of.
And I know you and I both are in California, and they're, you know, for the rest of the world, it's tough here listening and across the nation and everything. California has a different mindset. You know, it's more of, oh, you know, our government's, and this is not everyone, of course, but it's more of our government's not going to lie to us, you know, and people just overreact. We don't really need to,
right.
to go that, you know, that way. And I think when you really have to sometimes in California point things out to people so that they
right.
they get it, because they can't imagine that their government, a lot of people can't imagine that their government has actually lied to them or kept
right.
information from them.
Right, right. And it's not only the government then, but it's the double whammy. The government withheld it, and the media chooses to not do what they are supposed to do, what they are protected
right.
by the First Amendment in order to do, which is report
right.
on what the government is actually doing. This is in the First Amendment. They are guaranteed the right of free press to go and investigate, obviously, to find out what the government's doing. The Founding Fathers knew that there needs to be watchdogs. This is why they have checks and balances, and this is why they have free press. it's just the nature of human beings to do what we do. We try to do, you know, we have goals and we try to achieve them. And so you need a media to sort of keep everybody in line. And when you don't, Chris Matthews, you know, he said it, I'll do everything I can to help this moron
right.
than the rest.
I know. And you wonder about the reputation of the media, if they can ever get it back, you know, because in the past we all felt that, you know, the media was kind of on our side and they were going to go in depth and look at things. But this particular media, even before Obama got elected the first time, you know, they weren't
right.
going in and delving into things, and all because of political correctness. So, you know, and that is something that, you know, the media has never really worried about in the past, or at least in the most recent past. So how do they regain their reputation that they've lost to the American public, to
right.
most of the American public? And
I
think
yeah.
they have an uphill battle.
They do.
And they do.
But it's very easy to regain it, which is start telling us the truth. Start,
right.
you know, reporting this. I don't know if you knew what just happened today, but this one of the chief architects of Obamacare, this
yeah.
A tape was released, right, about calling
uh-huh.
us stupid, and if the people had known, of course they would have said no, and about Obamacare, and of course it's a tax, and we had to do all these gyrations to make sure that, I mean, this is one way that the media can get its reputation back, is by reporting that, by
right.
by broadcasting that video at least half as much as they broadcast Mitt Romney's 47% comment, which was in a closed meeting. You know, somebody recorded it surreptitiously. This wasn't an open meeting, but the Obamacare comment was at a public conference. So, you know, it, to me, the media would make huge strides in regaining its credibility if it were to, at every juncture, every decision, say, if it were George Bush, would we report this? And then just do it, you know? Just do it. If
I
they
know.
Reported that particular thing, that would be huge. That would be huge, because you know they would if it had been George Bush.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I think we have Scott Osborne on the line.
Oh, wonderful.
Scott, are you there?
I am here. And great show so far. I just wanted to pop in because I haven't gotten to in the last 2 weeks. I've been out on Monday nights, and congratulate you on your first show and tell you personally you're doing an excellent job. Let me tell you, when Dan Butcher, and I know he's listening, told me, it sounds like she's been doing this for 10 years, Dan Butcher from the Pundit Press. And he's right, I've been listening in the archives, and you're just doing a great job, Susan. And Karen, it's so good to talk to you and hear your voice.
Thanks. It's great to talk to you too, Scott. Thanks so much for this. This is terrific. We're
glad
he's in a pod, I think.
Definitely, and it's a lot of hard work, and I'll tell you, I don't get a lot of chances to get in there and fight alongside you. I get more chances to help spread the word that you're fighting, but when I get in there and I'm able to see your fight, it's an important fight, because the media doesn't, they do, they've got a totally separate standard. We know that a few weeks ago, the weapons of mass destruction, we kind of discovered them.
Right.
And the media spent decades. It's been a decade. They've been saying that Bush lied. But they
right.
wouldn't spend 5 seconds to tell us that oh, we were wrong. And the hypocrisy is insane. And the way, Karen, that you go about it is powerful. It's very, very powerful. We know that because we can see your reaction, the reaction you get from the other side.
Right,
I'm not going to stay long, but I did want to poke in here and tell you that Susan and Karen, and I am glad that you two know each other. The other day when Susan and I were discussing somebody for her show, your name was the first one that came to mind, and I thought, here's what I thought. I thought something from the Cane Train, Sister from Another Mother.
Oh, God. Well, thank
so
you.
So I'll let you guys go back to your conversation.
Thanks so much,
Scott. For anybody who doesn't know, Scott is the head of the network Contending for Truth radio network that we're having this Stand for Truth radio show on. So glad that he could drop by and say hi. He has been saying that he was going to come by and just hasn't been able to, like you said. So I'm really glad that he could stop by. Getting back to what we were talking about, I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit more about how can people become involved in what you're doing?
We do a couple of things. So the first easiest way people can get involved is to find our Facebook page, Rage Against the Media. Now we have a page that you can like, and that's great. But we also have a group. It's a closed group, but just go ahead and ask, and we'll let you in. Rage Against the Media, and what we do from there is we do something that we call Facebook flash mobbing, and gotten a little. It's so great. It's so powerful. And I think Scott was referring to some of that. What we do is at a specific time, say Wednesday at 4 Pacific, we will, and on a specific topic, say the location of weapons of mass destruction, we will first start, for example, at the CBS Facebook page. We will pick a thread to commandeer on their Facebook page, and then we will go as a group to the CBS Facebook page to a particular comment and just swarm it. We'll post all kinds of articles from alternative media, because they're the only ones telling the truth, about finding the weapons of mass destruction. And say, hey, CBS, you know, why aren't you reporting on this? Not only to get the attention of CBS, obviously, but to get the attention of CBS's people over on their Facebook page. Anybody who's over on CBS page looking for news, we will let them know that there is information that's being withheld from them. So again, like the protest, we go to where the people are. In this case, there are people specifically looking for news, and we make sure they hear the real truth. So we'll spend 15 minutes on the CBS page, all of us, and then we get 20 to 40 people doing this. And you can make a heck of a ruckus, 20 to 40 people. And then, so we'll be there for 15 minutes, and we'll comment on each other's comments and just get a lot of energy going. 15 minutes later, we go to the NBC page. 15 minutes later, ABC. 15 minutes later, we go to CNN. And then we always wind up at Huffington, which is...
I was going to ask, is that the worst offender? Or
it's, yeah. You know, we don't really bother with MSNBC because nobody takes them seriously at all.
Right.
And they're pretty clear that they're liberal. So, as long as they say we're the liberal news network, I don't really care. It's the people who pretend to be objective that I find the most problematic. So, and Huffington pretends, believe it or not. Arianna Huffington says, we cover all sides. They are the most vile people over there. So we end there because a lot of people will just stay and play for, the rest of the night. So we have these Facebook flash mobs, and we run them out of our Facebook page. We run an event, and so it's a ton of fun. They're very well organized. We really have this down to a science how we do it. And we pick, it's always some timely topic, and we might actually tomorrow do the Obamacare one and just slam that all over the place. Let people know, because the networks won't. So it really, our catchphrase on these is, if not us, then who?
Right.
If we're not the ones getting the word out, nobody else is.
Right, and it is amazing, like with the Obamacare statement that came out today. I mean, they're not trying to hide it, anymore. They're absolutely coming out and saying, the American people, they're stupid. And we did this because we could get away with it. And which anybody who, has a brain will know that what that means is we're going to continue to do it because you're so stupid that you're not catching on.
Right. Unbelievable. It's so craven. I cannot get over it. But who they really are calling stupid are the Democrats, obviously,
right.
because the Republicans saw through it. We saw through
mm-hmm.
it, or conservatives, or however you want to slice it. But it's the Democrats who, you know, still argue, oh, you know, it was great, it was just a problematic website.
Right. Sorry about that. I had somebody ringing the doorbell.
Believe me, I totally understand. But John Stewart, you know, when he was confronted with Obama, when President Obama, when it was revealed that he had lied, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it, period. John Stewart just could not get over it. He said, you know, listen to this. He lied. He just out and out lied. Do you remember that? He had said, this was a PolitiFact lie of the year. But then John Stewart went on to say, but he had to. Did I lose you? Hello?
Hi, Karen. Sorry about that. I got totally knocked off of the air and had to come back on. I apologize to you for that.
Oh, my goodness.
You had a show all by yourself and you didn't even know it there. Where did you leave off again? I apologize for that.
Wow. Well, I was saying how John Stewart had, when he found out, when we all discovered that Obama had completely out and out lied, if you like your health period, it was named
uh-huh.
PolitiFact lie of the year, and John Stewart played this big collage of Obama saying these things. He said, can you believe it? He just lied and lied and lied. But then John Stewart went on to say, but he had to. But he had to.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as what had happened in on the video that was revealed today. Yes,
uh-huh.
we went through all these contortions, but we had to, because
right.
the people would never have allowed it otherwise. So again, the leftists, they know we would reject their policies, ideas, candidates if we were to know the truth, and they don't care. Why don't they care? Because to them, they know best, and we're just the little people, and we don't count. So they're doing this utopian, you know, stuff, making these decisions for us because they know better and we're too stupid.
Right. And isn't that really the progressive way? It's kind of like the end
yeah.
justifies the means. If you have to lie to get what
yep.
it is that there's the agenda through, then go ahead and lie. It's okay.
Exactly. It's the ends completely justify the means. They know best. And the very idea of everything that America is, everything, means nothing to them. That we have
right.
checks and balances, that we have a legislature, that gridlock is not in itself a bad thing. It was designed. Our government was designed so that things only move forward if everybody wants it to. Otherwise, it doesn't. Because government
right.
should not be the answer. And so just everything is turned on its head. They don't believe in any of the tenets that this country was built on. And it's
right.
not.
And
they're
now,
really
let me ask. Yeah, well, it is. And you know, we see this over and over again and everything with, you know, the IRS, the NSA, you name it. It's. The allegations are the end justifies the means. We did this because we had an agenda. We needed to change America, and so we needed to do this in order to make it happen. And that seems to be the common thread and the theme that runs through all of these agencies. And, you know, people like Trey Gowdy and, you know, other people who are out there trying to get the truth, Daryl Issa being one. You know, it's extremely hard for them to try to get anything out of these people because they are just ignoring the law, it appears, and they're doing exactly what they want to do in order to continue to further the agenda.
Absolutely astonishing. And the very idea of the people having a right to the truth is so irrelevant to them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, completely irrelevant. What, they didn't even look for the files on Lois Lerner's computer? I mean, they didn't even look. They just, they have no interest in us. They have no interest in the idea that we're a self-governing nation. They have no interest in the truth unless it somehow coincidentally happens to line up with what they want to do, and then it's, you know, sort of a happy coincidence, but otherwise it's utterly irrelevant. And all those agencies that you name, and all the scandals that you name, IRS, the NSA, but also look at everything else they're shoving down our throats without informing us. Common Core, right. Agenda 21, everything to do with Obamacare, everything to do with Obama. You know, I mean, really, would we have
right.
elected him if we had known anything, and not even known anything, but what if the media had publicized how impossible it was for them to find out anything? That
right.
in itself, to me, is a, you know, how a president whose every record is concealed, if the media had said, oh my gosh, you guys, we can't find out anything about this guy, I think that would, that in itself would have raised huge red flags. But no, they even concealed the fact that his records are concealed. This
right.
is, it's so deliberate. It's so, this isn't happenstance. This isn't laziness. This is, they will do whatever they can to advance their agenda with utter disregard for us. And really what they don't understand is it's also utter disregard for themselves in the long run. This is not,
right.
you know, this is rage against the media. We say this, I say this all the time. This is a nonpartisan issue. When the media lies to advance an agenda, nobody benefits. How does
right.
decreased national security help anybody? How does our healthcare industry being destroyed help anybody? How does illegal immigration help anybody? How does these diseases being brought into this country, Ebola, I'm not secondary to the enterovirus brought in with illegal aliens, it helps nobody. This is just because they lie to an advance an agenda doesn't mean if you're a Democrat, all of a sudden things are rosy for you and it hurts Republicans. It hurts everybody. So it's so short-sighted. It's so blind. It's so stupid in the final analysis. You know, I get that you ends justify the means and you want this and that to happen and ha-ha, the media is really sticking it to the Republicans. But wake up. Wake up. When America
yeah.
is weakened in the world, this is bad. And not just for
right.
me. For my
well,
Democrat
and,
friends, it's just as bad.
You bring up a good point, though, about the media. I mean, look at that. They didn't even report that they weren't able to get information, which leads one to believe that even before, you know, he was elected president, they were already on board. You know, at least the people at the top were already on board in an attempt
right.
to help this president get in, you know, this person to get in and become
right.
president. So that it was already a foregone conclusion. We have a question here from Barbara. And she wants to know, have you heard Cheryl Atkinson's interview about CBS holding back on an interview?
No, I haven't. I'm following her. I got behind, though. Everything Cheryl Atkinson does, she's one of my heroes. She was the only one to report from the major networks about Benghazi and, of course, Fast and Furious and the things that she's withstood. But no, I have not. I look forward to hearing that. I'm not. Everything that woman does, she really needs to be held up as just an icon of somebody fighting all of this. So,
absolutely.
No, that's great. And thank you for pointing me to that. I'm very excited about reading her book and about our government tarnishing her computer. This is,
yeah.
you know,
that
Watergate
was
one thing, but this is, are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, that warrants a major investigation. Just, you know, put it on the list.
Right. Well, it, you know, she had reported that she was sitting there and basically looking at her computer and all of a sudden things are disappearing off of her computer right before her very eyes. You know, things
right
are being wiped clean
her
on her computer.
Eyes.
And again, it's like they don't even care.
It's like we have a right to do that because you're interfering.
Isn't it astonishing? Again, protected by the First Amendment, and yet, and the most transparent administration in history, and yet.
Well, we should know that anytime you hear something, it's just the opposite. That's what the legacy of this administration is going to be. If we say, you know, it's up, it's really down, if it's, you know, whatever the opposite is.
Absolutely. It's always, and whatever they accuse us of, it's them, racism, hatred,
right.
War on women, you name it, it is them. And, you know, that's the great thing, one of the great things about the election that we just had. Nothing reveals that than this election. And
yeah, and that's right out of the playbook, though, the progressive playbook, too. You know, it's we'll call you a name, and we'll just keep calling you that until people believe it, and it sticks. And that's the way
right.
that the attention is off of the real issue, and you're sort of beaten into submission, if you will, to agree with us. And that's playbook 101 for progressives.
Right. And that's why
they have it down pat.
They do have it down pat. And that is really the beauty of the internet, is without it, they might have succeeded. But because we have alternative media, because we have people like you, and we have Blog Talk Radio, and we have blogging like you, and all kinds of alternative news sources, we've broken their monopoly on information. And, you know, their playbook may well have worked in the past, but as long as there are people like you, like Scott, like so many others who take this so seriously, that we give so much of our time and energy and passion to fighting so well anymore. And that is very gratifying. But, you know, again, as with this election, all it was the beginning of a chance to right everything that's been going wrong. Now is not the time to sit back and say, oh, great, you know, see you in a couple of years at the next election. No. Now is really the time to just hit really hard.
Yeah,
on every front.
We basically have to become the media, because the media really no longer exists, if you will. And so by being vigilant, you know, we essentially become media, and we report what they won't report, you know. So, and we need to continue doing that, no matter what president and who gets in,
office. That's exactly right. And, you know, when we started this, as I said, it was after September 11th, 2012, we really thought that Mitt would be in November, and then what our job would be as Rage Against the Media would be to keeping them honest about the things that Mitt Romney was trying to do as president. That, you know, if he tried to do whatever needed to be done and still needs to be done about Obamacare, we wanted to help the media be honest and be objective about what was going on and so on. But it was just going to be a matter of keeping them objective, or forcing them into objectivity about what he was doing. The idea that he would lose just never crossed our minds. So a lot of us, the day after the election, realized now we've got to do this in earnest. And because it really is the media. But of course it was too late for, we were too late for 2012.
Right.
But we've got to rev up in earnest for 2016.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond. And just
and
you
beyond,
know, keep it going.
Of course.
Right. And uncover everything that we need to in order for that next person to come in, which, you know, we're looking at some of the people now, and, you know, these candidates are, it's just a repeat of what we've had in the past, and for a lot of them. That seem
right.
to be sort of getting their names out there. And we need to start putting the information out now. We can't wait until it gets closer to the election. We have to do it now, like I said. So,
Absolutely. Not only about ours, but we really need to affect Hillary Clinton's calculus and help her decide
to
not run.
Absolutely. Everybody's open. Everybody's fair game. Doesn't matter what political party. And, you know, we need to uncover and expose all those issues out there that the American public needs to know.
It really is. It is all about, it's all about the truth. Whatever side it is, it is about the truth. If you know the truth, and then you decide whichever way you decide, okay, fine. But if you're making decisions based on flawed information and deliberately flawed information, you're being deliberately lied to, then elections really, what do they mean? And you know, and everything from there. So we really do need, we need an honest media. We need, that's just for starters, we need an honest media.
Yes,
without
absolutely.
That, there's really nothing.
There's nothing to build on if you don't have the root basis of that. You know, you need a the truthful media. And again, if they're not going to do it, then we have to take their place. I wanted to ask you a little bit too about the Truth Fest. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Right. So based on, you know, what we were just talking about, the people are do make decisions based on false information, not only from the media, but also, you know, education and entertainment. And you cannot rely on any of those, especially, you know, to our purposes, the media, for the truth. We realize that really the front line has to be each one of us. And because we need to change minds sort of one person at a time, because the media is not doing its job. So we came up with this idea for Truth Fest, and had our first one October 11th here in L.A. And the idea, we had three goals. One of them is just to get conservatives in L.A. together so that we don't feel so alone, because it's a lonely place for conservatives. Not only conservatives, but also groups. There's so many groups here who are active, who have great ideas, and so we wanted to provide them all with to share ideas and to learn what each other are doing and to help our, you know, anybody who came to Truth Fest to find those groups that they feel they can align with and help being active. But the main part was, instead of having a lineup of, you know, big name speakers, we wanted to train people so that they themselves can be the media effectively, so that they themselves can get the word out, can have conversations that are effective, and so on. So we had 9 workshops in various tactics. We had a couple in just general conversation, how to have those conversations, how do you start them in such a way that you're not alienating people. We had 2 workshops on education. One was dealing with the unions in the schools, and one was dealing with Common Core. We had one on Alinsky tactics that was by David Kahane, who had written Rules for Radical Conservatives as a counterpoint to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Just dynamite. We had a number of people speak about how do we deal with conversations going into the inner cities? How do we do that? Because our ideas, conservative ideas, really are the ones that, quote, get you off the plantation. But we're not clear about it, so how do we do that? So we had that. And a couple more. We had a number of them. So we had 9 breakout workshops, and they were fabulous. So we had great keynote speakers. We had Mason Weaver, who's just a dynamo. We had Jesse Lee Peterson out here. He's president of Bond. We had Larry Sand. We had Joe Messina. We had a long, fabulous roster of speakers. We had Nani Darwish, who's an expert on Islam. And we had the Counter Jihad Coalition as an activist group. They came, Bond came. So it really turned out to be effectively a convention for activists in the L.A. area. And it was an experiment. We weren't in, we had a pretty good idea of how it was going to go, but it was a trial run. And boy, are we revving up for 2015, because the idea really is it does fall to us. So what can each one of us do? So for 2015, we'll have even more. We'll have a lot more cultural aspects. We'll have more educational aspects. We'll have more Islam kinds of things. We'll have more about the media. Because then between 2015 and 2016, that's when we're really trying to lay the groundwork for the election. Because elections only reflect how people have been feeling. And to imagine that an election, that all you have to do is come out of the woodwork 2 months before, that you can really make a difference, that's really nonsense. Elections reflect how people have been feeling. And not only in the political arena, but in their lives. So if we can just sort of drip, drip, drip with ideas about conservatism, drip, drip, drip with the truth about every single one of these things that I was just talking about, by the time the elections happen, people will be listening to the candidates with different ears. So that's what we're aiming to do.
And are you going to have that in L.A.? Is that where it's going to be held in 2015?
It will be in L.A. We may do something at the six-month mark. So what does that make it? April. It's more, we may have something further south where there are, in fact, more conservatives. but I think our October events will be in L.A.
Okay.
We have so many groups here. So
I'm wondering,
you can find that at truthfest2014.com is the website that has all the information about what we had just done.
And I'm wondering if at these Truth Fests, if you have or if you would consider maybe doing some live streaming if you can, so that people could perhaps log on, you know, to say, okay, good. Good.
Right. We're looking into that through a subscription channel. What we also did this time was we videotaped the entire thing, and we're just now collecting all the videos. So we'll be posting a trailer, and the video, the DVD, will be available for purchase. But we'll be posting a trailer of, you know, of the highlights. Because it really was dynamite. Our speakers were so exceptional. These aren't, you know, again, the big name speakers. That's not what we wanted. We wanted people who live this stuff and who are activists. They know what they're talking about. They know how to be effective. So they might not be names that anybody knows, but they know what they're talking about. So we've got this. We'll be having the DVDs. So check, you know, truthfest2014.com. People can join our mailing list. And then we'll alert them when the DVDs are available. They also have T-shirts and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, it really was quite an undertaking. And the more people we can get the word to, the better. And we're definitely looking into live streaming. Being present is wonderful, but, you know, not everybody lives here in Southern California.
Right. And I think people need to see more positive, conservative things coming out of California because, you know, we have the reputation here that everybody here is a progressive liberal. And as you and I both know and are, you know, evidence of, we are not. We're very much conservative. And we need to have a way to kind of show the nation. You know, just because we're in California doesn't mean that we're not activists, doesn't mean that we don't care, doesn't mean that we're not conservative. And I think by, you know, having that live stream and letting people across the nation see, this is from California, you know, now have a different, change your attitude about California, maybe change your attitude about what you're thinking and listen to what we're saying type thing.
Well, that's a great point. That is a great point. And so much of the culture does originate here. For good or ill, you know. So the more we can get that's good, the better that is. Plus, we are in the hotbed of Hollywood, and there are people we can bring in to help get the message out that way, too. So, yes, it really is a remarkable event. I'm so, even as it was happening last October, when I was so worn out, and it was such a huge undertaking, that even as it was happening, I'm thinking, I can't wait to do this again, because it's so empowering, you know?
I was going to say, energizing.
You go to these super energizing. And what we did, we had cards made up, Truth Fest cards, that had spaces for 5 goals. We wanted people to leave with specific things that they themselves were going to undertake to make a difference. This wasn't a, you know, come on, you know, rally, rah, 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 and you leave and you sort of go back to your world. No, we wanted people to leave with specific ideas of what they themselves were going to do. Mm-hmm. So, because it really, each one of us can make a difference. So, if you can point in the crisis that we're facing with this nation, if you can make a difference, you have to. It doesn't have to, you know, be a huge, you know, look at me kind of thing. It can be subversive. It can be just a matter of posting flyers in Starbucks or something. It can be,
right.
You know, there's all kinds of ways to do things anonymously.
Right.
But you got to do it.
Take a more passive role if they want. If they don't want to get out there in your face type of thing with the signs, they can do what they can do in a more passive role, but still, you know, getting out there, being effective, and getting the word out there. And I think,
exactly,
like you said, everybody needs to get involved. And we all have a lot on our plate, but this is important. This is a battle that we cannot afford to lose, and we have to do what we can to get out there, to spread the word, and to make sure that we try to bring America back to an even better country than we had before.
Amen.
And
absolutely right.
And you have alerts, you said, on your Facebook page. And your Facebook page, again, is Rage Against the Media.
Rage Against
Correct?
The Media. We have a website, rageagainstthemedia.org.
Okay.
So we're active, you know, all over the place. We have Twitter that's not as active as it should be, but we're trying, that's at Media Rage.
Okay.
So we're trying to be much more active on Twitter, because there's just so much power in tweeting. So if you have people who are tweeters, if anybody wants to help, you know, with that, I sure could use it. So
yeah, you can have Twitter bombs on Twitter as well, like you do
exactly.
on Facebook.
Exactly. Exactly,
mm-hmm.
Because we found, you know, we do so much on Facebook, but we found all our people on Facebook. Now we sort of have to start recruiting on Twitter people, because there's not a lot of people who are really comfortable in both. So if you have listeners who are, you know, tweeters, please help us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Go there and do that. I know everybody on Twitter, you know, when they really get behind a cause, they're very effective and get a lot of things trending. And people
yes.
see those and they really do react to them. You know, a lot of things, people think their voice isn't effective, and it absolutely, their voices are effective. It impacts the world by getting out on something as simple as Twitter and just, you know, putting 140 characters down, well-meaning words, and it gets out there to everyone, and it's very effective. So I hope
Amazing.
That they do that.
Amazingly powerful.
Right. And Karen, we have about 40 seconds left. The time just flew by, and it was wonderful. And I thank you so much for being here. And
My
thank
pleasure,
you so much
really.
For what you do.
Terrific
and,
host,
and,
terrific and, show. Thank you.
Thank you. And please do keep us informed about what you're doing. And if you tell me, I can, you know, I can keep people informed on my website. I'm on Twitter as at Susan Knoll. And so that I can tell people a lot about what you're doing too. And who knows, maybe we'll meet up on one of your Truth Fests and we'll
that would be great.
See you there. Okay.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. It was great to be on your show. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
You take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Everyone, have a wonderful week. We will see you back here next week on Monday, and you will love our guest. Don't want to miss him. I will be announcing it shortly. So you take care. God bless. Have a great day.